My only way to know that I need it. that is going to Brother Ronald and Sister Rhonda Beavers, and we want to be a blessing and a help to them. And if you're making a check, you can make it out to the church. And, of course, everything that's taken up in the offering plate today, every penny of that will go to them to be a blessing. Of course, she's still there at Baptist Hospital, and I had to give her a little more blood last night. So just continue to lift them up unto the Lord, because it's going to be a long process. But we want to be a help and encouragement and to bless them. So you give us, Lord, directs at the close of this service. We'll do that. But 2 Kings chapter number 6, I'll be the first to tell you, this is not the text that I was going to. I happened to come in this morning. Brother Wayne done a tremendous job in Sunday school. I'd say if you're not currently involved in Sunday school, we've got something for all ages. It'll be a help. It'll be a blessing to you. But he went over there to 2 Kings chapter number 4, and it jarred my mind in 2 Kings chapter number 6. And that's where we are today. And this may sound like a familiar message to some of you. Some of you may remember this. And sometimes I question about preaching sort of the same thought over again. But, you know, we sing the same song like Amazing Grace, and it still works. And but this morning, somebody needs this. It may just be me, but I just feel real impressed. This is where we need to go out of 2 Kings chapter number 6. I've often said when I preach through on Elijah and Elisha, those two are some of my heroes that are found in the Word of God. And I love all the individuals that are found in the Scripture. But Elisha, I mean, he got that double portion. God used him greatly. And we're going to deal with him a little bit today out of 2 Kings chapter number 6. And you'll know this account well as we begin to read this. Of course, I preached probably not too long ago on the snapshots of Calvary. And there was a picture of the cross here in these verses that I'm going to read. But I'm not preaching on those lines today. But if you found your place, if you're able to, if you would stand with us in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word, 2 Kings chapter number 6. The Bible said this, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood." And I just love that phrase. That's just a country say, they cut down wood. I just love that phrase. I'm not actually preaching on that thought, but I'm glad they cut down wood. They weren't just beating and banging. Trees were falling, and they were cutting down wood. Look with me in verse 5. "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, Master, for it was barred. And the man of God said, Where fell it?" Notice the question. "And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." Now let's pray. Father, as we bow, God, in your presence, Lord, this morning, Lord, I sure am glad I got lost so I could be saved, be found. Thank you, Lord, for the wound to Calvary's cross many years ago. Thank you for the pre-pardon and forgiveness of sin that's only found in Jesus. There's one walked in here today or one listening, unsaved, unprepared for eternity. God, may today be the day of salvation. But I pray for that may be listening, or that one that may be here today. Lord, they've lost something. Father, I pray to be able to find it today. Lord, convict hearts, clean hearts. I pray you'd change hearts, convict hearts, do what's needed and necessary. Help this feeble preacher now to decrease it. Jesus may be increased and lifted up. Lord, again, I confess publicly that I'm nothing. You are everything. Lord, I pray you'd have the preeminence right now. Do a work that only you can do, and we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise for what you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We read this text here and very familiar, one of the miracles of Elisha. And I would say this, as you study the life of Elisha, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, no one else performed more miracles, Brother Harold, than Elisha did. Now, of course, nobody can touch the Lord Jesus in that department, but Elisha was second to the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that God had done for him and through him. Of course, he was the one that prayed for the double portion. He certainly got the double portion of the spirit of Elijah to fall on him. We see his ministry unfolding, and this is one of the miracles that we find performed in the Word of God. And of course, it's the floating axe head, and we know that iron don't swim, iron don't float real well, it goes to the bottom. And we see that unfolding in our passage today, and we see that pretty much that basically, if we could liken this unto our day, they had sort of like a Bible college or a Bible school that was going on. As you study your Bible, there was four places where those colleges or those school of the prophets were located. There was one that was located in Gilgal and one in Bethel and then one in Jericho, and also in a place called Ramah, which was the hometown of Samuel. Those four places is where the school of the prophets were located. And evidently here in this particular passage, they had grown, and they were under the leadership of Elisha, and they had outgrew the place where they were. And new growth always results in new obligations. So they had to build bigger. So they went down, and the story lets us know that they went down to the River Jordan to cut down trees. Now, why didn't they go somewhere else? Well, down by the Jordan River, Brother Danny, that's where the trees would grow, and they would flourish by the riverside, so they would grow up tall. And these school of the prophets, these men went down, and Elisha went with them to cut down wood for the purpose of expanding this school of the prophets. We notice there in verse 1, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Again, they're saying, hey, we've outgrown this area. Verse 2, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. That's where the best trees are going to be, nourished by the river, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So here they are, they're going down to the Jordan River. And sure enough, in verse 4, so he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. Now, if we ended the story right there, you'd say, man, they're doing a work. The school of the prophet is enlarging. They're down there by the Jordan River, and they're cutting down trees. Progress is being made. If we stopped right there, we'd say, well, man, that's a pretty good account. But notice there's a problem that arises in verse number 5. The Bible said, but as one, singular, was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was barred. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and he took it. We see in this text, they're cutting wood, and this one particular man, singular, loses his axe head. And he loses it, according to the Word of God, into the Jordan River. It sunk down into the deep, mucky water of the Jordan River. So there's a problem. And this is my thought this morning, and again, it may just be for me, but I need to be reminded in this area, and I hope that you need to be reminded in this area too. We find this particular fellow losing something that he needed. We would say this, he's lost his edge. And friend, when you lose your edge, you're not good. The chips ain't going to be flying. The trees ain't going to be falling. You're going to be beating and banging with a handle, but you ain't nothing going to get done. And when you think about this, this man had lost something that he desperately needed to do a task and perform a certain ministry for the Lord. It was expanding of the school of the prophets. So we see this great problem arose. Well, preacher, how can that apply to me? Well, if we're not real careful, now this message is not to a lost man, and it's not to a lost woman. Again, if you're here today or you're listening, you've never been saved, your greatest need is to be saved. But I'm talking to believers today that may have lost their edge as well. They've lost their sharpness. And even if you hadn't, hey, there's one thing that I've learned through the years, Brother Brandon, you got to continue to keep that edge sharp. That edge better be sharp if you're going to be effective in the work of God. And it's a continual work in progress. That's what sanctification is. You know, justification. What's that, preacher? Well, when a person comes to Christ and they call on the name of the Lord, they trust the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, your sin instantly goes on him and it's paid for. Your sin's been canceled. You're justified. That's instantaneously at the moment of salvation. But sanctification is a process. Day by day, being more and more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification is day by day, and we've got to keep our axe head sharp, but there's occasions where we may even lose that thing. You know, I think about our modern vehicles today, and it's amazing some of the things that they've got with gas and a tire light. I told Brother Brandon, and that thing still comes on. I can go in, the tire light will flash. And it shows that a tire's going down, and it makes you fret, and you get out, and your tires are fine. Something going on. But then if you get real, real low on the gas level or the gas needle, there's a light that'll come on. Now, very rarely do I ever get in Christie's car, and sometimes there's a reason behind that. I don't know if it's just a woman thing or if everybody does this, but it seems like the light is always on. If it ain't on, it's real, real close to E. And I say, well, did you not come by? Yeah, but it was cold outside. I didn't want to get out. Well, you're going to have to fill up at some point or the other. And that light, it'll flash, but then if it gets so low, it'll start blinking. You know what I'm talking about? Same way with a seatbelt on the car. I can get up to about where the silo is coming out of our driveway, and it'll flash, but then you get the ding, ding, ding. How'd you like them sound effects? You know what I'm talking about, though. You got those warning indicators that there's a problem and there's an issue. Well, you know, there's sometimes, there. I think God sends some warnings our way, too. And maybe not a sign. We're not to look for signs, by the way. We're to look for the Lord Jesus Christ because he's still coming. But we need to understand God will give us some indicators, or there's some warning signals along the way that maybe we've lost our edge. What about this? What if, and again, I'm not talking to your neighbor, I'm talking to me, and I'm talking to every individual in here. What are some indicators, preacher, that maybe I've lost my edge? Maybe I'm not as sharp as a Christian as I should be. What about this? If we are joyless and passionless about the things of God, it's a pretty good idea you've lost your edge. If you're joyless and passionless about the things of God, and even the house of God, there's a good possibility you've lost your edge. What about this? Is there another indicator, one of those flashing lights? Yeah, there's a problem at ground zero at my house. If you have little or no desire to read God's word and pray, good indicator, you've lost your edge. Now, in our modern world, we would say this in the business world, in the commercial world, even in the athletic world, when somebody maybe is not as sharp as they used to be, we would say they have lost their competitive edge. Well, listen, if you've lost your joy and your passion for the things of God, if you have no desire to pray and read God's word, you've lost your edge, your effectiveness as a child of God will suffer. I can promise you that if you lose your edge. But thank God we'll learn here in the word of God how to get that edge back. But you'll never get any help until you realize first there's a problem. What about this? Is there any other indicators? All right, preacher, if I'm joyless and passionless about the things of God, that's a pretty good sign that, man, I've lost my edge. If I have little or no desire to pray or to read God's word, to carve out a time each day to get along with God, you've probably lost your edge. But what about this? If your heart gets cold and your eyes become dry, pretty good idea. You've lost your edge as a child of God. If worship, when the choir is singing, or when you come in for worship, or maybe even preaching time, and maybe part of this is on me too, but if worship is blasé, boring, and lifeless, chances are you probably lost your edge. When you have an opportunity, oh God, help us right here. When you have an opportunity at congregational time to break forth that red hymnal and sing, if your singing is half-hearted, pretty good chance you've lost your edge. It's awful quiet in here this morning. I'm saying it's easy. It's not difficult at all to lose that edge. It's not difficult at all because things pull. Sometimes we're here, Brother Brandon, but we're there. What in the world are you talking about, preacher? That don't make no sense. Sometimes we come in and we sit down here, but mentally we're somewhere else. Am I telling it right? We get distracted so easy. What about this? If we have no desire to witness to a lost person about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, chances are we probably lost our edge. Amen. Hey, get this. If we're not exercising faith and believing God to do the impossible and the incredible, which He still can, by the way, but if we're not exercising that faith, chances are we probably lost our edge. Hey, if the fire's gone out in your house, in your home, in your marriage, in your relationship with the church, then chances are you've lost your edge. Now, I don't want to stay there, but this is like those warning lights on the car we don't think about until it starts flashing and it starts dinging, and it reminds us we've got a problem. There we find this particular guy has lost his edge. He cannot, it's pretty easy to understand this. He couldn't do the work that God wanted him to do without his edge. And you and I, as children of God, cannot do what God wants us to do and be effective if we've lost our edge. Well, preacher, how in the world do I get my edge back? Well, I believe the Bible tells us. Again, number one, I've already hit on this a little bit. You got to recognize there's a problem. If you never recognize there's a problem, friend, you'll never get any help. I'd say this, if you never recognize you're lost, you'll never get saved. Jesus come to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19 and verse number 10. And I'm glad I got lost so I could be found, so I could be saved. But we got to recognize, man, there's a problem, and only God can meet this thing. But you got to recognize there's a problem. This guy did. It didn't take him long, Brother T.R., to realize that he lost his edge. Well, what happened, preacher? Notice in verse number 5. The Bible said, but as we see in verse 4, they're cutting down wood. They is plural. These guys went. These guys weren't lazy. They were doing a work for God. They were expanding this school of the prophets. And the Bible said in verse 5, but as one singular was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. This guy recognized there was a problem. He had been, man, the chips had been flying, Brother Kevin. They were cutting down wood, trees were falling. And now he ain't, the chips ain't flying because he's lost his edge. If he continues on, all he's going to do is beat and bang on that tree, but he ain't going to get nowhere. You with me? He ain't going to get nowhere without that edge. But he recognized there was a problem. Let me say a couple things about this man, because I believe this hits home to all of us, and all of us got to guard against it. It doesn't matter if you got a position to church, if you don't have a position to church, doesn't matter if you're faithfully here all the time or some of the time, all of us, this will affect us in some shape, form, or fashion. I'm convinced of that. I'm a work in progress. You're a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. If we're going to do something for God, we got to have that edge, and if you ain't got that edge, you got to recognize there's a problem. But this man was busy. He was busy. How you know? He wasn't lazy. He was working, Brother Brandon, yet he still lost his edge. Do you know you could serve God and still lose your edge? You better believe you can. You can get into the mundane and the stagnant and the stale and the complacent and the ritualism, the mechanical mode, just like the churches in Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter number 3. There are seven churches over there in Asia Minor that Jesus addressed. It wasn't the fifth one, but the first one he addressed was the church in Ephesus. Now you look at that church, it was a scriptural church, it was a suffering church, it was a separated church, but it was a sad church. Because the Bible said, Revelation 2 and verse number 4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I call that the mechanical church. They were doing everything that they were supposed to do as a church. Outside, you looked at them and said, man, boy, they're doing great. But the great physician come down and checked the pulse of that church. He said, listen, you're doing it out of routine. You're doing it out of mechanicalism. And you've left your first love. This man was busy and he still lost his edge. We ought not ever get over the amazement and the awe and the wonder of saving grace that God has given to you and I. We ought not ever get into the place where we just get into the routine and the casual and just going through the motions in mechanical mode. Man, you can be busy and still lose your edge. This guy was busy doing the work for God and he still lost his edge. But he recognized there's a problem. And here's what this is the real key right here. Because there's a lot of folks that have lost their edge and don't care. But then there's others that have lost their edge and it bothers them. It bothered him that he lost his edge. How do you know? Look at verse number 5 again. But as one was felling a beam, man, he's busy. The axe head fell in the water and he cried and said, alas, master. I remember when I was studying through that years ago, you know what that literally means when he said, alas, master? Oh, no. That's basically what he's saying. Oh, no, I've lost that edge. And the Bible said he what? He cried. Why did he cry? Because it bothered him that he lost his edge, Brother Brandon. How many of God's people go through, yeah, preacher, I really ain't got much joy, and I'm pretty passionless about the things of God. I don't really have a desire to pray and to read God's word. I don't really witness to anybody. And you know, when we sing, I hear you tell me I need to sing, but I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to sing when congregation comes. And if I do, it's going to be half-hearted. I'm not going to give God my all. Although Jesus gave his all for me, I'm not going to give my all for him. You think about all that. And the fires went out in my home. It's went out in my marriage. It's went out in my church. It's went out in every aspect of my my life, but I'm just going to sputter on through life. Some folks don't even care, Brother Randy. They could care less that they've lost their edge. This man was bothered because he cried. He cried that he had lost his, boy, God help us. If we've lost our edge and we're not as sharp as we used to be, God help to break our hearts and to get those tears back, to get that old fallow ground broken up and that old cold heart. That's what God wants to do and develop and cultivate some things in our life. But it's not going to do it until we get real with God and we get honest with God that there's a problem. But God help us to let it bother us when we don't have the edge that we once had. David said in Psalm 51, verse number 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I'm glad once you get saved, you can't lose it. But you can lose the joy of your salvation. And I promise you this, if you ever lose your edge, you won't have the joy of salvation. You won't have the passion. You won't have the joy. You won't have the desire that you need to have to be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ unless you've got that edge. But this boy, we know he recognized there was a problem. He was busy, still lost his edge. But when he lost it, it bothered him. But notice this, the Bible said that what he had was borrowed. He lost what wasn't even his, Brother T.R. He didn't have any. Think about college students. Especially Bible students, they go off to college somewhere, man, they ain't got much money. And these schools, the prophets, they didn't have much money at all. They didn't have tools to work with. So, Brother Harold, they had to borrow these tools. So this guy's working with somebody else's tool. He's a steward of it, and he loses, Brother Danny, the axe head. And the Bible said the last part of verse number 5, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." He recognized there was a problem. He was busy, still lost it, but when he lost it, it bothered him. I don't think it took him 20 minutes either to figure out he had lost his edge. He knew he had lost his edge. It bothered him, but it was borrowed. Did you know everything that we have on loan for God? Even the breath that I'm breathing right now, the reason I can talk and communicate and see and walk and move around, live, move, and have my being, you know why? Because of Him. Everything I have is His. I can't boast of anything. You can't boast of anything. He gives us our talents. He gives us our characteristics. He gives us our traits. He gives us those desires. But everything we have is borrowed. Even James said in James 1 and verse number 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." In other words, there's no respecter of persons. God gives us what we need to equip us for the ministry as children of God, but oftentimes we lose our edge, and this guy recognized there was a problem. Well, preacher, how do I get that edge back? You got to recognize there's a problem, and you can lose it while being busy, but I hope it bothers you when you don't have that effectiveness that you need to have for a child of God. But it was borrowed. Everything we have is on loan from God. And by the way, 1 Corinthians 4:2, still in the Bible, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." God gives us everything that we have. And one day He'll call us into account. You know, Brother Harold, we make a lot of excuses down here, don't we? Well, I can't. I would, or I should. I should have, I could have, I would have. Boy, we stand before God, I hope we can say, man, I did. Not I could have, I should have, I would have. And this thing's winding down, by the way. I mean, I'm getting older every day. All of us are, by the way. None of us are getting any younger. And some folks say, well, one day, you know, preacher, one day I'll serve the Lord. Why not today? Why not today? We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised next week. You better give what you can to God, because there will come a time when age is going to creep up on you and you ain't going to be able to do something. Amen. I got some witnesses right there. You talk to some of the silver-headed saints of God in here, they'd love to be able to do what they once did, but now they've got to the point where they don't have the edge that they once had. But I'm saying this, you can be busy and lose your edge, but it ought to bother us when we don't have the edge and everything we have is borrowed. But notice this second thing, how do I get my edge back? Number one, you got to recognize there's a problem. But number two, you got to return to the place where you lost it. Place of departure is always a place of recovery. Do you know that? Place of departure is always the place of recovery. Where did he lose it? Notice what the Bible said in verse 6. The man of God said, that man of God being Elisha, "Where fail it. Now notice this next phrase. It's not complicated at all. And he, that's the guy that lost the exit. He showed him, that's Elisha, the place. You got to return to the place where you lost it. Where'd you lose your edge? And you can make an excuse about this, that, or the other. But honestly, what we got to do, Brother Kevin, is look in the mirror. If we've lost that edge, we can't blame anybody for losing an edge. It's up to us to keep that edge sharp and to be sharp and to do a work for God. But he returned to the place. He said, show me the place. And I don't believe Brother Harold. He said, well, you know, Elisha, it might have been 100 yards over here or maybe 75 feet up. No. When that thing flew off the handle, I can just see him. He watched that axe head go into the water. You know how you have the ripple effect? I guarantee he's seen it's bothered him and he's lost his edge because he knows everybody else is cutting down trees, but he's just beating and banging now. He can't cut nothing down. Chips ain't going to fly. Why? Because he's lost his effectiveness. And it bothered him, and he cried, and Elisha said, well, show me the place. Elisha wasn't looking. Elisha hadn't lost his edge. But this man lost his. He said, show me the place. And it wasn't a shot in the dark. He said, man, right here is the place. Notice the Bible said he showed him the place. That means the precise place where it went into the water. You don't have to look far to know where you lost your edge. Well, preacher, where can we lose our edge? What about this? What about in our schedule? What about our schedule? Well, preacher, I used to have my edge, but maybe your schedule's not allowed for your relationship with God to flourish and to be cultivated. And now you sit back and you look and you've lost that edge because of your schedule. Hey, listen, you're in good company when it comes to the Bible. You're in good company. Every one of us in here has been affected by this. I don't care how long you've been saved. There's been times where schedules will come up and it will conflict your relationship. I'm talking about day-to-day relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We get too busy. Amen. Well, back in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, when Jesus, his first advent, when he came, we remember the Christmas account, Luke chapter 2 and verse number 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Isn't it interesting how history repeats itself? There was no room for Christ when he first came. There's no room for a lot of folks. There's no room for Christ in a lot of folks alive today. And they sit back and they wonder, well, man, why don't I have the edge? Why don't I have that sharp edge? Why don't I have that effectiveness as a child of God? Why don't I have that joy? Why don't I have that passion? Why don't I have that desire to get in the Word of God and to pray and to read? Why don't I have a desire to win somebody to God? Why can't I sing like everybody else? Why is worship just blasé and boring in life? It could be because you've lost your edge in your schedule. You got to return back to the place where you lost. What about this? What about your storm? You can lose it not only in the schedule, but you can lose it in a storm. You check out Matthew chapter number 14, Brother Randy, in verse number 30. The Apostle Peter, we can criticize him all we want to, but he did walk on water. He walked on water. But the Bible said, Matthew 14, verse number 30, but when he saw the winds boisterous, he began to sink. Cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord Jesus Christ immediately saved Peter. You know what? He walked pretty good till he got his eyes off the Lord, Brother Brandon. Got his eyes on the circumstances and on the storm. He began to sink. You know what? There's a lot of folks that have lost their edge. Maybe not in the schedule, but maybe in the storm. Maybe some of you went through maybe you went through a hard separation. Maybe went through a divorce. Maybe went through some kind of job loss. And maybe maybe you got stepped over and you didn't get the job promotion you thought you should have got. And maybe a relationship issue and you got burned. And maybe somebody done something to you and they hurt you terribly. They said something to you, done something to you, and God help you. I tell you, in this family deal, and maybe a mom and dad died and you didn't get the family air room. And now you blowed up like a little banty rooster. And now you won't talk to your brothers and your sisters. And you look back and you say, well, man, I don't know why I don't have joy. I don't know why I don't have passion. I don't know why I don't have any desire to read God's Word and to pray and to win somebody to God and to sing wholeheartedly and to have a fire burning inside. It just could be that you've lost your edge in a storm that come your way. You got your eyes off the Lord and got your eyes over here on the circumstances. But what about this? That place could be maybe not a schedule. Maybe not a storm, but it could just be a simple S-I-N, sin. A specific sin. Something that maybe nobody else knows about, but you know about it. Maybe somebody else does know about it. But you had an edge at one time until you turned and you gave, and you were tempted and you gave in to that temptation, and it became sin in your heart and in your life, and instantaneously, man, you've lost your edge and you've just been beating and banging ever since. Chips ain't flying, the trees ain't falling, you ain't doing nothing for God because you lost it in your sin. Don't tell me you can't do it. Because it can happen. Amen. And you can lose that edge. Again, I ain't talking to a lost man. I'm talking to a saved man and a saved woman today, because God wants me to have my edge sharp. He wants you to have your edge sharp. But God's going to have to get us to get honest with Him. And if there's sin in your heart and life, the psalm is pretty clear. Psalm 66, verse number 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I promise you this, if the Lord ain't hearing you, you're not an effective, you don't have an edge. You don't have an edge at all. But notice this last thing. Hey, preacher, what will you do when you lose your edge? You've got to recognize there's a problem. And you can lose it while you're busy. But once you lose it, it ought to bother you. And everything we have is borrowed. We'll give account before God one day. But you got to recognize there's a problem. You got to return to the place. And there's a lot of places. And there's others that we could give you. But those three really predominant areas, our schedule. Man, a lot of times we say we make time for everything else. You better make time for God. Listen, He gave His absolute best so you and I could be forgiven. Man, that blows my mind. As sorry as I am, God gave His absolute best that I could be saved and born again, Brother Wayne, my name be wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. How dare me not want to do something for Him? But sometimes our schedule is where we lose that. It's sometimes a storm when we get our eyes off the Lord. And sometimes it's just a specific sin. And again, I don't believe it takes long. I don't think you look, if you don't have that edge, I don't think you say, well, you know, I might have lost it here. You know exactly where you lost it. Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit of God will tell an individual that is saved, that is born again, yeah, you know, you used to have an edge, but you lost it right here. Well, you got to return to the place. Again, the place of departure is always a place of recovery. So, preacher, what am I going to do if I lost my edge? You got to recognize there's a problem. Return to the place. But this final thing, you just simply got to reclaim the power. Got to reclaim the power. Look with me in verse number 6. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, cast in thither, and the iron did swim. Man, that's a miracle right there, that the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. Now, Elijah is talking to this man that's lost it. Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. So I can just see this. And I don't believe he had to get wet, Brother T.R., because the Bible said the iron did swim. I believe he showed him the place. He acknowledged, hey, this is where I lost it at. And Elisha said, well, and the iron did swim. After he threw the stick in, there's a picture of the cross, by the way. That stick, which reminds me of a wooden cross where the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed for my sin, your sin, the sin of the whole world. You'll see where that stick went in, but it never came back out. That's His life for mine. That's the substitutionary atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. The stick went in and the iron came out. Boy, what a picture that is. Because I'll tell you this, there's a lot of things that sink us, and that thing sunk all the way down to the bottom, and there ain't but one thing that'll get you up, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now this thing's swimming. And I believe He just reached out. The Bible said take His hand, and He reached out and got it. Now here's the key. Brother Brandon, that thing didn't mean a thing while I was out there in the water. It only meant something to that guy that lost his edge when he reached out and got it. When he got that edge back in his hand, now he put it back on the handle. Now he's ready to go back to work. The chips are able to fly. He's able to do what God has called him to do in an effective way now because he's got his edge back. Now he lost it for a time period and he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. And I'm convinced of this. Many of us do the same thing, and it's not difficult. Sister Savannah's come, but listen to, if you ain't heard nothing else, get this now. It's not difficult for me, Brother Brandon, any of it, Sunday school teachers, deacons, you doing anything for God, it's not difficult to lose that edge. It's more difficult to keep that edge sharp and to keep the edge on the handle so you can keep a work. But what God wants us to do is to be honest, and I'd say this, just think about your car. Man, that flashing light's on, that gas is blinking. My seatbelt's dinging. That reminds you got to put that on. Your tire light's flat. If you're in my case, it don't matter. It's on all the time. But those lights, they flash and flash and flash to serve as a reminder. But I would ask you this again. Again, I'm not talking to your neighbor. I'm talking to everybody here. How would you answer this question? Are you joyless and passionless about the things of God? You got to answer that. Again, I'm not trying to preach mean down. I'm just trying to be honest with you. We're all made out of the same stuff. I'm not better than you. We're all a work in progress. I've said that numerous. I'm the least among you. But if you're joyless and passionless about the things of God, maybe it's not where it needs to be. It's very possible you've lost your edge. If you're here today and maybe you just don't have the desire to get in God's Word and pray, man, you can make time for other things, but just that you just cannot carve out time to get in God's Word and to pray. Chances are you've lost your edge. It's been a long time since you witnessed to somebody, or maybe you've never witnessed anybody. I can promise you, you've lost your edge. If your heart's cold, you hadn't shed a tear over somebody that's lost in years, maybe never. Maybe somebody's heartbroken and you just your heart's cold and your eyes are dry. Chances are, man, you've lost your edge. If your singing's half-hearted, I know we go back to that. Some of y'all laugh about it, but it's important, man. We better get in practice because we get over yonder on the other side. Praise God, we're going to worship Him as Creator in chapter 4 of Revelation. Chapter 5, we're going to worship Him as Redeemer. And the Bible even said in the book of Psalms, Psalm 40, He gives us a new song to sing. We ought to sing with joy in our heart, in our life. But if worship, when the choir's singing, if sort of blasé and boring and lifeless, chances are you might have lost your edge. What about this? If you're not exercising that faith, believing that God can do the impossible and the incredible, and He still can, but if you're not believing Him for that, chances are you've lost your edge. Fires went out in your home, went out in your marriage, went out in your church. You just don't have what you once had. Preacher, what have I got to do? You got to recognize there's a problem. I pray that it bothers you if you have. Return to the place where you lost it. Get honest with God. And then simply reclaim the power. God wants us all to have that edge. He equips us. He wants us to be usable. But it's up to us as we stand all over the house. Let's pray. Father, I love you and I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to share your word, God, one more time. Lord, you know my frailty and you know my issues that I have. And God, I sure desperately need that edge maintained. But Father, I pray as we search our hearts and search our lives today, you'd help us to have that sharp edge so we can do the work, God, that you've called us to do. Lord, I know this message is to the believer, but if there's one here today or one listening that is unsaved, never had any of these that we talked about, Lord, they may not need revival. They may need to be saved. But God, I pray that you'd help us to be all that you want us to be. Help us to clear out the junk out of the way where we could be better servants to you. Help us to recognize the problem. Help us to return to the place. God, help us to reclaim the power. I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to give you thanks for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by his marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.